Carl. Call the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue to order. Welcome, everyone. I want to thank my vice chair for running the meeting yesterday. I hear that you did a splendid job. So we will start today by opening a public hearing on House Bill 2700. Work session. Close public hearing. Open the work session on House Bill 2700.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, to refresh your memory, House Bill 2700 clarifies procedures for late filing of property tax exemption by certain eligible entities and public bodies, and it creates a late filing procedure for first-time filers and public entities with good and sufficient cause for late exemption filing, and it looks forward.
Okay, and we unfortunately did not have Representative Berger with us last time because she had many, many places to be that day. So she has honored us with her presence today after I told her that her bill was causing people to be perplexed. So Representative Berger, if you could just briefly summarize what led to this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative, District 20. Thank you for hearing my bill. It's a simple bill. It started with a church that came to me after the last session of the session before and said that some volunteer had made an error, hadn't got their property tax exemption in when they purchased some property, and it ended up costing them a lot of money, and could I do anything about it? And basically, after talking to the Department of Revenue, I concluded that there really wasn't anything I could do about it. They screwed up. They didn't get their exemption papers in time, and it cost them. And I thought no more about it until my temple here in town, which had moved from one building that they'd housed for 50 years to another building, which had been a church. And they thought they're going from a building to another building that had been property tax exempt that they didn't have to file. And same thing happened to them. They're all of a sudden on the hook for a year's worth of property taxes, and they were very upset. So at that point, I sat down. In the meantime, Representative Terry Beyer had a similar issue with not a church but a nonprofit in her district that didn't get their exemption when they were first-time filers for property tax exemption as exempt organizations. She had a similar issue. We convened a work group which included the Department of Revenue, John Phillips, who talked to you before, my assessor who's behind us, Richard Kreitzer. Appreciate those folks coming together, and that's the genesis of this bill. In the meantime, I thought it was just a little thing until I heard from the Catholic Church, who, if you recall, had a little divestiture, if you will, under their problems, where all the diocese had owned all this property. Suddenly the parishes now owned the property where their churches were, and a lot of them forgot to file for re-exemption. And what I discovered was that it was sort of hit and miss what happened then around the state. In different counties, kind of treated it a little differently when somebody came to them and said, oh, we didn't realize we had to refile. That's the provenance of this bill, which basically started out to try and give some folks money back on this screw-up. That got taken out. I didn't want this to be a ways and means related bill. So what you have before you is a system statutorily that all of the counties can rely on that says if some entity that would be qualified, a nonprofit or a church that is for the first time filing as an organization for their property tax exemption, if there is some screw-up, they get a little more time, okay, from January to April 15th. It doesn't mean they're getting off the hook, but it recognizes the fact that this has happened often enough, and a lot of these organizations are completely dependent on volunteers, and they think, you know, somebody thinks it's happened and it hasn't. This says to your local county people, here is a system for giving them a little bit more time. That's what this bill does. That's what it's designed to do. I hope it sort of settles the water, makes it easier on the counties so they know who and how they qualify, and that's all we're trying to do. And there is no fiscal because nobody's getting money back on the screw-ups.
Thank you for summarizing that. And the long short of it is some of the counties in these situations would cut them a little slack and some wouldn't, and this will give the same ground rules to everyone.
Exactly. That's why we moved forward with this bill.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
Oh, there are conflict amendments, by the way.
We do, and we're about to hear about those. So thank you very much, Representative Berger. You can stay or not for the conflict amendments, but wanted to get you on your way if you need to be.
Well, I will stay for a few minutes, and thank you very much. And I do apologize, Madam Chair, for not being here and leaving poor Department of Revenue on the hook for my bill when it was heard before I was in committee tied up in something else.
Representative Berger, had you been here, you would have deprived us of a fascinating discussion.
Well, I hear it got off on lots of interesting tangents. So if you have any questions of me, feel free. If not, thank you very much. I spent from 8 until 12:45 right there. I hope that chair is comfortable. Senator Rosenbaum.
Very much so.
And all this staff was here. I feel like I spent the whole day in this room.
Like Groundhog's Day,
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Representative Berger. Okay, Day, would you please describe to us the Dash 3 amendments?
Yes, this was dropped off this morning, and what happened was when Senate Bill 594 was amended, there was addition of a filing requirement exemption for non-profit entities in terms of personal property filing, personal property tax filing, and then some of the languages there conflict with the version House Bill 2700 as it's written. So Legislative Council found a proposed amendment to resolve conflicts between House Bill 2700 and then Senate Bill 594.
Okay, and I'm looking at the back of the room for some nods that people have determined that the conflict that amendment does what it's supposed to do. Okay, that whole side of the room is nodding. So, okay, thank you for that. Is there any questions of Day or anybody else from the committee? Okay, Senator Morris, we have a Dash 3 amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2700.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash 3 amendment to House Bill 2700. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2700 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 2700 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I will carry this bill. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Berger. Okay, our next bill is we'll open a work session on House Bill 2074. Okay.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, House Bill 2074 is about tax supervising and conservation commission, and in front of you have Dash A3 amendment and Dash A4. Now, my understanding is Dash A3 was prepared.
The Dash A3 we're not considering.
Okay.
So why don't you talk about the Dash A4?
Dash 4. Dash 4 amendment, what it does is it has every element in Dash A2, so in consideration for amendment, all you have to do is just consider Dash A4. In Dash A4, the essence of this A4 amendment is on top of clarifying that the urban renewal agencies are also responsible for the sharing of the TSCC expenditure. What this Dash A4 amendment does is giving the option to districts to opt
out.
PSCC cost sharing responsibility.
Okay. Representative Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Madam
Welcome
Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Senator Lori Mona Sanderson from the Gresham Troutdale-Wood Village and Fairview area. And this, just as a reminder, the amendment came to you from three small cities, Troutdale-Wood Village and Fairview, who had requested wanting to opt out of taking their budgets to TSCC, since they already have a public hearing process and thorough vetting process within their own jurisdictions. This bill originally was 748 through Senator Hass's committee and was vetted and passed out and went over in the House. And in talking with Representative Barnhart, they said it sure would make his life easier if we could just adopt the amendments over here. So he had one less thing to do over on the other side. So basically, this amendment is will still require everyone to report to TSCC, Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission, unless they want to opt out, and then they would notify the TSCC that they would like to opt out. It also changes the fact that TSCC, this was at the request of TSCC, that all supplemental budgets do not have to go through the budgeting process, the supplemental process. Also, the budgets need to be taken forward to the commission before the final adoption of their budgets. And at the beginning of each calendar year, they need to let TSCC, if they're going to opt out, they need to let them know before the first of every calendar year. And I think that covers just about everything that's in that amendment.
Okay. Senator Mona Sanderson, do you think it would be helpful to have Mr. Lynn Harris and Mr.
If you have
Crane,
questions,
come on.
Yeah.
Chris Crane and
both
Tom
Chris Crane, who represents the three cities, and then Tom Lynn Harris, who is the director of TSCC, have both bought off on this amendment.
Okay. Welcome.
If you don't need me anymore, I have another hearing I'm supposed to
be at. We will release you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Chris Crane, City Attorney for the City of Fairview. As Senator Mona Sanderson alluded to, we had two bills regarding Tax Supervising Conservation Commission this session, one in the House, one in the Senate. And this amendment combines the two into House Bill 2074, which then becomes the single vehicle for all the amendments relating to TSCC this session. So what this does, House Bill 2074 in its original, in its current incarnation, takes the cost of administering the TSCC and distributes it among the taxing districts in Multnomah County. The TSCC, by way of background, was created in 1919 by the legislature in Multnomah County only, and Multnomah County has had the honor of paying for it for the last 89 years, and they would like to, not unreasonably, spread that cost among the folks that actually use it. And as I understand, there's no real opposition to that. So this amendment gives taxing districts smaller than 200,000 in Multnomah County the ability to opt out of. Sorry, that's my helper.
He can come up.
Colin, you want to come up? This is for the record, this is my son, Colin. He's 8 years old. He's in second grade at Buckman Elementary School in Southeast Portland.
Welcome, Colin. You look like you're having a good time. You look like you're having a better time than we are. Okay, continue.
So taxing districts in Multnomah County that are larger than 200,000 don't have to have citizen budget committees that the other taxing districts are required to under the local budget law. They don't have to have public hearings on the theory that the Tax Supervising Conservation Commission does all that for them. Those smaller than 200,000 get to do both, comply with the local budget law and go through the TSCC process. We wanted to do one or the other, but not both. 748 would have, long story short, the Amendment A4 allows taxing districts under 200,000 in Multnomah County to opt out of the TSCC process. You have to give TSCC notice by January 1. You have to opt out for a minimum of 3 years. I mean, they have real staffing considerations. They have to know what their workload is. That's reasonable. Multnomah County would like to be able to invoke this cost-sharing mechanism this budget year, so we added an emergency clause to the bill that allows them, that would allow it to take effect immediately, and Multnomah County then will be able to work that into their budget process. And I believe, if I understand, Tom will correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we have consensus on these amendments.
Okay, we'll soon find out. Mr. Linhares.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Linhares, and I'm the Executive Director of the Multnomah County Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. My commission has given its okie-dokie to the Dash 4 amendments. They're not entirely happy with all of it, as I'm sure City of Fairview probably isn't entirely happy with all of it, which tells me we must have done something right in our work group to come up with a consensus, because nobody got everything that they wanted. But as far as I know, everybody is pretty much on board with the Dash A4 amendments, the Commission, Multnomah County, City of Fairview, and the others that supported Senate Bill 748, as well as some of the other districts that were supporting House Bill 2074, City Gresham, Special District Association, Metro, Portland Public Schools. I think everybody's pretty much on board with the Dash 4 amendments.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee? I've worked hard with Senator Mona Sanderson and all of you, so I appreciate your ability to.
We appreciate your concern and effort, too, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I would echo that, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You. Okay, if there are no questions, we will turn the mic over to Colin.
Thanks.
No, we will. We will move on. Committee, what I'd like to do is if we could get a motion to move the Dash 4 amendments into this bill, I'll do that and then close the work session in hopes of reopening it before the end of the meeting, because we have a fiscal and a revenue hot off the press that may get here by the end of the meeting. So, Senator Morris, if you could move the Dash 4 amendments, I'd appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2074.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2074. Is there any discussion, objection? So ordered. And then right now, with those amendments in it, I will close the work session on House Bill 2074 with the intent of reopening it later if I can. I'm unfortunately going to have to carry over again Senate Bill 621. I saw Vince sitting back there. So we're going to have to carry it over. We haven't had the discussions that we need to have before we can consider this bill. So I think I'll carry this over until Monday. So that's 621. Right now, we will open a work session on House Bill 3082. Chris.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, as you recall, House Bill 3082 creates a pilot program within the Department of Revenue that would focus on requiring occupational licensees to demonstrate tax compliance with personal income tax laws, corporate income or excise tax laws, and cigarette or other tobacco tax laws. It limits the pilot program to three state agency boards or commissions, and it outlines basically the commissions would go to the Department of Revenue and ask whether or not an applicant is in compliance with tax laws, and the department would respond yes or no. And the bill lines out the definition of tax compliance for these purposes. The bill would also require the department to report to the legislature by January 31st, 2011, and repeals the project January 2nd, 2016. You do have the, as was discussed last time, you do have the revenue impact and the fiscal impact statements for the A and gross.
For the A and gross, and we don't have any amendments to this bill.
There are no amendments that I am aware of.
Okay. Committee, we had, this was a while ago that we had a hearing on this. Does anybody have any questions of Chris or concerns? Okay. Senator Morris, do you feel comfortable making a motion on this?
I think so, Madam Chair. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3082A be referred to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 3082, A, engrossed to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Senator Hatch.
Thank you, Manager. I just wanted to say that I think this is a good idea, and I guess if I had any regrets here, that it was changed from its original into a pilot program. Nothing wrong with trying something out or taking the car for a spin, but I think a lot of people are surprised that this isn't already in place now, and I think it makes a lot of sense for us to move forward.
Thank you for that comment. Other comments?
I think, Madam Chair, what moved me to support this bill is the report that we had with one major sector of our economy where 50% did not file, and that's pretty compelling.
Yes. I've relayed to the Secretary of State how compelling that testimony from their audits division was in this committee.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty stunning.
Madam Chair.
Senator Telfer.
Thank you. As a CPA, I already have to, in order to get my license, the regulatory body, Board of Accountancy, has to establish the fact that we have filed. I am a little concerned with the paying being a leverage on your licensing, so that's why I like the pilot. Let's see, you know, what the bumps in the road on that might be as far as forcing someone to actually pay or lose their license.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. House Bill 3082 passes the Senate floor. Senator Hess, would you like to carry it?
Sure.
Okay. Now, I guess my agenda. There we go. Now we will open a public hearing on, wait a second, we're going to have to carry over Senate Bill 832, folks, because those amendments are not ready. So this will be carried over till Monday's meeting. And House Bill 3056... will also be carried over till Monday's meeting. I'll get this straight. Okay. Do we have any other business before the committee? Paul, anything? Okay. Oh, that's right. Do we have that fiscal yet?
Fiscal analyst is in the committee meeting.
Okay. All right. We will carry over... Bill 2074. We will carry over House Bill 2074 to the Monday meeting, and somebody will have to remind me that we already adopted the amendments. And with that, we are adjourned.